Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service today. Great to have you all here. Please join me as we open in prayer. Lord God Almighty, you are great, you are amazing, you are wonderful. And our whole life is a journey of getting to know you better. Lord, we thank you for this message that you've prepared today. May it be your words that are spoken here. Open our ears to hear the message you have prepared. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, amen. Let's start by reading a parable in Luke 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is one of the few parables where we're actually told up front what that parable is about. We don't have to figure it out. He didn't have to describe it to his disciples later. In the case of this parable, which is known as the persistent widow, Jesus told it to show us that we should always pray, as it says in verse 1, and not give up. But why would he want to tell us this? How we answer this depends on how we view God. If we see God like this, as some judge who's more interested in his law than us, and us keeping his law than us, then we might see prayer as the weight that we need to add up enough to get the scales to tip in our favor. And if this is the case, it's easy to believe the lie, that if we pray enough, if we pray hard enough, if we pray long enough, if we just keep at it in prayer, if we get all our friends to join us in prayer, God is going to pile all those prayers on that scale until the yes is a yes. That's a lie. That's not the way God works. God isn't forced to bless us and grant our request because of our quantity or quality or number of prayers. That's not how he works. And that's not what this parable is about. In fact, Jesus has crafted in this story a contrast to show who God really is. A God who cares for us, who can be counted on. In fact, because of who God is, Jesus can tell us not to lose heart in praying. So the story of contrast Jesus uses creates the argument, if it is true for the lesser, then it is more true for the greater. In this case, the lesser is a judge. We're given a not too flattering picture of this particular judge. Jesus tells us he neither feared God nor cared about people. In short, he was only concerned about himself. We see this self-centered judge in full color as he refuses the pleas for justice from the widow. One of the primary duties of a judge in Israel would be to see that the helpless would not get taken advantage of by any adversary, any opponent. But this judge doesn't seem to care about the widow or about doing his job. But the widow wears him down with her constant pleas. And in the end, the judge grants her request, not because he cares about her, but because he's tired of hearing her. Because he's concerned about himself, his self-preservation. He didn't want to be bothered any longer by this lady, and he feared risking his reputation. Jesus uses this parable to argue that if the widow was granted justice by such a wicked judge, then how much more would a loving God want to hear our prayers and come to our aid? His parable does not involve the need to pray harder or longer or more persistently or with more people to win God over, but rather to see who God is for the purpose of placing our faith in Him. This faith gets expressed as we participate in prayer with God. So here are some of the contrasts that are presented in the parable that can help build our trust in the Father so that we can indeed pray and not give up. First, the widow was praying or pleading to a judge. We pray to our Heavenly Father. Now, have you ever noticed how children will search out a particular parent to present their request to? Somewhere down the line, usually quite early, they figure out who is the softer target. It brings to mind my best friend and I. You see, we were both attending the same church, but we lived about 30 minutes apart. So during the week, we never saw each other. We spent a lot of time on the telephone talking. But every weekend when we would see each other at church, we would hatch a plan whereby either she would come to my house or I would go to her house. And then at the end of the service, we would approach our parents. And yes, it was very targeted. And yes, very specific. We went to the dads first. Oh, yeah, it's okay with me. Ask your mom and see what she thinks. So, like, you know, we got the clearance from the two dads, then we go to the two moms. It wasn't always as easy with them. They were not the softer targets. Maybe you've done this in more sophisticated ways as an adult. Craig and I cross the U.S. border quite often because gas is a lot cheaper in Linden than it is in Langley. So we go down, we fill up our gas tanks, we might pick up a few groceries, sometimes a bottle of wine, sometimes we pick up something larger. And we come back to the border. And as I approach, I try to adjust my glasses and see if I can see if that border guard in the booth is a man or a woman. I try to pick the lane where I can see it's a man, because I found that generally the women border officers tend to be more exacting, rather like me. And I really don't want to pay duty. They don't tend to be as responsive to my friendly greeting. I find the men a softer target. So it's natural to seek out the people we think are more inclined to give us a favorable response or an answer. In the parable, the judge is not a soft or favorable target, but the widow doesn't have any other options. We may think we can go to other favorable targets to get justice or to help our needs, fill our needs other than God. But when we do, we may be casting ourselves on the mercy of a judge who really doesn't care about us. In fact, much in this world lets us down. But when we know that God is our Father, a loving God who cares completely for us, we can come to see that He is the one that we need to go to with all of our concerns. In fact, There's never a part of God that is turned away from us or against us. He is a Father unlike all others. We see who God is, this Father. We see Him in His Son, Jesus, who came to reveal who He is. In fact, Jesus revealed to us in His life, His death, and His resurrection that God has already judged us as His children, and He will love us for all eternity. He's already judged us. We are His children. So if there's something out of place in your life and in my life, there's no doubt that the Father is the one we want to talk to about it, because He's for us. We are His loving children. So am I saying that we should just pray to the Father about all our problems and concerns and not look for help anywhere else? Is going to a doctor for treatment, for example, showing a lack of faith? Is Lloyd having a bypass surgery yesterday a lack of faith? Is baby Liam having a surgery to cut a muscle in his stomach that is keeping the food from getting into his system a lack of faith? Not at all. But our first stop, our soft target, if you will, is our Heavenly Father, who has called us His precious children and loves us for all eternity. So let's get back to our comparison between the judge and our Heavenly Father. The judge in the story cared only for himself. He didn't want to be bothered with this lady anymore pestering him. The Father cares for the whole world. You probably know that empty feeling when someone agrees with you or grants you a request only because it serves their purposes in some way. Have you ever had someone do you a favor only to expect that there'll be a favor given in return? In fact, they do it for you to obligate you to do it in return. This lets us know that the person isn't acting out of their care or their concern. It's called rather self-serving. The judge in the parable may grant the widow's request out of his selfishness, but the Father acts only out of His love for us. So if the answer to our prayer is no or not yet, it's okay. If it's yes, we can receive it and enjoy it in full assurance. We can also pray to the Father knowing that He will not abandon His love for others in His answer to us. And this is really vital to remember. God's answer to prayer always takes into account His love for all His children. God doesn't play favorites. We don't always know how our requests might affect other people. Our requests are often self-serving, let's face it. But how will the answer to our prayer affect those who we're close to? Just because we pray something that we think is good for us doesn't mean that that answered prayer would be good for others. We come to trust the Father's purifying work in our prayers, aligning our prayers with His goodwill for all. Here's another way that God is contrasted with the judge. The judge is bothered by the pleas of the widow, but the Father welcomes and wants to hear our prayers. Have you ever been granted a request because the person didn't want to deal with you anymore? I think about kids, you know. Mom. And at a certain point I would say, enough. Okay, fine. Leave me alone. How does it make you feel if somebody treats you that way? If we believe God is like this, then we are more concerned about the gift and we miss the giver. God wants us to bring everything to Him in prayer because He wants to be with us in everything. He's not bothered by my prayers in the least. Have you ever felt that your prayer was maybe too selfish or too petty, too unimportant? Maybe you felt like, wow, it was scattered and incoherent. Maybe you fell asleep when you were praying. Are you afraid that you would annoy the Father to the point that He shoos you away? Ah, she fell asleep again on me. Can't she stay awake? No, He's patient. He doesn't shoo me away. He doesn't shoo you away. It doesn't happen. Is it silly to pray for a parking spot? I've done it many times. Is it silly to ask God to help you find something you've lost? One day when I was pregnant with Brent, I lost my keys. I searched the whole house, up and down, under the pillows, under the cushions, everywhere I could think of. And I could not find my keys. I even employed my secret agents, Bryce and Natasha, promising to pay them a loonie if they found my keys. And off they scattered very eagerly to try to find my keys. But alas, no one was successful. And the time was marching on. I had to go. I had an appointment that we had to be at. And I started just getting frustrated and desperate. And I just said, Lord, please show me where my keys are. I'm going crazy. I don't know where they are. I just laid it all down. And there was no apparent answer. So we continued on the search until I opened the refrigerator. And there they were. Cool as a cucumber. Unlike me. The Father is not worn out, like the judge in Jesus' parable. The Father wants to hear everything on our hearts, not because He doesn't already know, but because praying opens us to receive more fully all that He has to give us, even that parking spot, even the keys in the refrigerator, the little things and the big things. We share with others only to the extent that we trust them. You don't tell somebody you just met all of your problems and your shortcomings. You don't share the little things either. But when we share everything with our loving Father, we show that we trust Him in everything. Prayer in this way warms the Father's heart, as His children come to Him in trust, in love. And then us, the children, we can receive what the Father is giving. And the greatest gift that we open ourselves to receive through prayer is the gift of communion, oneness with the Father. So here's another point in the story of contrast. The judge can be influenced by outside forces such as nagging the widow who came back time after time after time. But our Father is true to who He is as a God of love. There is nothing that changes God's mind about us. And that can be such a relief from a burden that we might even know we carry. Our thoughts and opinions about one another are easily swayed, aren't they? One moment someone is our best friend. The next minute we treat him or her like a sworn enemy. The way we treat others can be swayed by our physical circumstances, like bad traffic. And you come home in a bad mood because you just sat in traffic for 2 hours. Perhaps we have a headache. It affects the way we treat each other. Circumstances can disrupt our relationships. But our Father, our loving Father, is not swayed in this way. He is true to Himself. We never need to fear that there's some higher cosmic power or force that has strings attached to the Father's feelings towards us. He's not going to be swayed by anything. His love is always and forever. He is love. He will always respond out of love. The stars don't have to align for the Father's favor to fall on you. In Jesus' life, as recorded in the Gospel, we see all kinds of powers and influences align to thwart the mission to the Father for the sake of the world. But Jesus was not swayed. He was not delayed. He reveals to us that the Father's character and heart toward us will never be deterred. So you can come to this Father knowing that He doesn't have other issues to attend to. Here's another comparison. The judge said to himself in determining how he would proceed with the widow. But the Father never talks to himself. In fact, Father, Son, and Spirit share all things in communion. All the plans and purposes the Father has for us flow out of this triune nature of loving relationship. He's not disconnected from our lives, lived out in relationship with each other. In fact, He created us for relationship, not only with Him, but with each other. So when we approach the Father in prayer, we're not praying alone to a lonely God. This could be a scary thing, like walking down in a dark alley to meet a stranger. We pray in Jesus' name. In fact, Jesus takes us to the Father. Jesus is the one who prays. In fact, when we pray, we are receiving His prayers, Jesus' prayers, participating in His conversation with the Father. Jesus takes our prayers and purifies them, thank God, and presents them to the Father. So we're not trying to work up some kind of prayer that's going to be good enough to turn the Father's ear toward us and grant our request. Prayer is a manifestation of the Father's heart already turned towards us in Jesus Christ. The Father is calling us to Himself in prayer. I want to read an excerpt from C.S. Lewis. He paints a beautiful picture of this dynamic, because I know this is kind of hard to understand, but this illustration I think is really good. It comes from his essays, Mere Christianity, his books. An ordinary, simple Christian kneels down to say his prayers. He's trying to get in touch with God. But if he's a Christian, he knows that what is prompting him to pray is also God. God, so to speak, inside of him. But he also knows that all his real knowledge of God comes through Christ, the man who was God. That Christ is standing beside him, helping him to pray, praying for him. You see what is happening? God is the thing to which he is praying, the goal he is trying to reach. God is also the thing inside of him, which is pushing him on, the motive power. But God is also the road or the bridge along which he is being pushed to that goal. So that whole threefold life of the three personal being is actually going on in that ordinary little bedroom where an ordinary man is saying his prayers. The man is being caught up into the higher kinds of life, what I call Zoe, or spiritual life. He's being pulled into God, by God, while still remaining himself. As we come to pray, we can come knowing the Father is not talking to himself, and we are interrupting. He is speaking to us and drawing us into that communion relationship. So let's quickly review again the 5 points of contrast. Firstly, the widow was praying to a judge. We pray to our Heavenly Father. Second, the judge cared only for himself. The Father cares for the whole world. You are his precious child. He cares so much for you. The judge is bothered by the pleas of the widow, but the Father welcomes us. He wants to hear our prayers. He wants to hear our frustration, our anger. He wants to work through it with us. No prayer is too small or unimportant to him. The judge can be influenced by outside forces such as nagging, but the Father is true to who he is. He is a God of love. And number 5, the judge said to himself in determining how he would proceed with the widow, but the Father never talks to himself. Father, Son, and Spirit share all things in communion. These 5 points of contrast in the parable make a strong argument for placing our faith in this Father and coming to him with our prayers. As we come to see who God is for us, we will be moved to continually turn to him in prayer and not give up. So Jesus is telling us through this story that God is the one we can trust for justice. He is faithful to us. He can be trusted. No matter what injustices or challenges we face in our world, we can bring them to our Father, trusting him to answer. We can badger the judges in our world and maybe force a few decisions to go in our favor. Or we can come to our Heavenly Father, who loves us and favors us completely, not ever turning from us in our time of need. So perhaps we should rename this parable to change the focus. Rather than the parable of the persistent widow, or even the parable of the unjust judge, as it's also known as, let's call it the parable of our loving Heavenly Father. Because of who he is, we can obey his command to always pray and never give up. Please join me in a closing prayer. Lord, we're just so thankful for who you are, that you're just not influenced by outside forces, by circumstances. You're not even influenced by the many times we reject you, the times we slip up. You're not influenced by the piles of prayers that we set before you. You're influenced only by your nature, which is love. And you are true to that loving nature. So, Lord, as we pray, help us to trust you more. Help us to bring everything before you, knowing who you are, our loving Heavenly Father, knowing that you're a communion, that Jesus, when we bow down in prayer, that we're joining you, Jesus, as you lift up the prayers to the Father, that you refine our prayers, that you purify our prayers, and that Holy Spirit, you draw us into that communion and into that oneness that just lifts us up into a realm that is spiritual and far above this physical existence. Lord, we're just thankful for who and what you are. So help us to always pray and never give up, because of who you are. We're thankful for the opportunity this day, this afternoon, to share in food and fellowship, and we pray your blessing on that. Lord, we pray for our country as we enter into an election on Monday. Lord, we're thankful that you are the one who set people into positions of leadership, and we pray that they might be looking to you and trusting you as we try to trust you as well. So, Lord, we thank you for this time and every blessing that you give us. We're so thankful for who you are. And we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.